Hey, what's happening? This is Jerry Dixon of Warrant, and I personally give you the right to rock.
The right to rock.
Listening to the Right to Rock podcast, the only heavy metal and hard rock show on the net made by fans for fans. And now, get ready for two guys that are so metal, they pour motor oil on their cereal. It's Genghis and Rockman!
Mr. Sandman.
Yes.
Bring me a dream.
Bum 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 bum. You fucking love doing that shit. We should do that during like Christmas. It seems like a Christmas song or something.
Yeah. That's our new theme for Christmas.
You always want to fucking open this with like a fucking Three Stooges or fucking what. That's how fucking old we are. Like our jokes that crack us up are from the 40s and shit.
And then I'm laughing at nothing.
They were fucking funny. I remember used to watch Abbott and Costello, and I thought they were hilarious.
Who's on first?
Exactly. And fucking Laurel and Hardy. I used to love all that shit.
Dude, what do you think of Buddy Hackett?
Buddy Hackett? He was funny back in the day. I heard that his whole
dirty motherfucker.
I was going to say, they said he would do the, you know, he'd be on Love Boat and all the shitty shows. That's the only way we knew him. But then you go out and find him, like you watch those roast tapes where he used to be the roaster guy. Yeah, and his stand-up. They talk about, like, Red Fox. You watch Sanford and Son, you got no idea that this is one of the dirtiest motherfuckers you ever saw. Same with Buddy Hackett. You'd see him on, you know, Love Boat or on Match Game or something. You have no idea that he's one of the dirtiest comics around. And it's like, holy fuck. And I guess today the equivalent would be like Bob Saget or something.
Yeah, I was going to say Bob.
You know
Saget
him as a wholesome
like
dude, but he's really like his comedy is just fucking dirty as fuck.
Hey.
Or something like that. Yeah, and he's dirty as motherfucker.
Yeah, he just fucking really goes down that line pretty hard.
See, that's where we're just dirty from the beginning.
Yeah.
So that way you're not surprised. We don't want to surprise anyone.
But he couldn't be the kind of Full House Holmes. He couldn't be the dad with the illegitimate kids. And
exactly, Holmes.
Whatever the fuck he was up to.
He had to be John Stamos with the yogurt.
yogurt.
He's like, take me shopping. I need a new hat.
My name is Yogurt.
Just plain yogurt. You. So what do we got going on the video here once you hit play?
A fucking pause of, I guess, hopefully some women's
a
lives.
A pair of games? She had a pair of games that would make a bishop kick
it's
out
John's
a stained glass
gam,
window.
Gam.
Gam.
Is that your gam, gam, John, about to get fucked by Warrant?
I, motherfucker, I'm coming down.
Ooh, gam, gam's got her legs spread.
Wait, hold on. I just locked the fucking booth. He can't get out. He's fucking all pissed off. Look, he's got that one vein popping out of the side of his head.
Kill both you motherfuckers.
If you hit the fucking unpause button, we'll see if it's gam gam or not. Did you hit the silence?
Yeah.
Nice.
He's still yelling. He's just running his mouth at
that. It's not gam gam.
Yeah, it's some other whore.
It's just another hooah.
Look, it's Janai Lane, Holmes. No, it's Janie, which is short for what? Janifirth?
I think so.
What's Janie's
story? It's Stephen Sweet.
It's Stephen Sweet.
It's so sweet.
Stevie Sweet. Don't you love those fucking commercials with fucking Lil Sweet? The Dr. Pepper, the Die Dr. Pepper guy?
Oh, the weird fucking commercials? Those are fucking creepy,
like,
dude.
Lil Sweet.
Yeah.
It's the sweet one. That dude cracks me the fuck up. Like, he rides up on a miniature fucking horse, and those two, like, cowboys are hanging out by the fence. Like,
he looks like who
the
Prince.
Fuck's, yeah, he's like, who the fuck's this guy? And he steps down and is like, I'm here with some sweetness. He's like, he's got the fucking two Dr. Pepper cans and holsters on his side. It's fucking, like, it's so gold. Weird. You're like, what the fuck is this? But it's hilarious.
It's gold, Jerry, gold.
Exactly. That shit cracks me. It's that's Homeboy from fucking American Idol or something.
Really?
Yeah, he's one of the winners. There was two big winners from American Idol. One was Kelly Clarkson, and there was that other dude with, like, super curly hair. He had, like, a mop curly hair, and they did a movie together.
Yeah.
That's him.
Kelly?
Something like that. Anyway, that's him. Justin Legarie or something, whatever it is. That's him. He's a fucking little sweet.
Yeah, he's done so well for himself. But he's probably making a ton of dough doing
Dr. Pepper. There's a shitload of bread and fucking diet drinks, sure. Yeah. Plus, he's hilarious. Those commercials are... It's like everything else, like all the kids' cartoon shows where... Mm-hmm. Have you seen the new fucking, like, Mickey Mouse? Like, Disney brought back Mickey Mouse cartoons, mm-hmm. and they look like they were done by fucking Crick Felucci. They look like Ren and Stimpy because it's this crazy comedy.
Oh, really?
Like, people just sit around and get high and write cartoons now.
Wow.
Like SpongeBob SquarePants, tell me that wasn't written by a stoner.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? It's like everything's fucking crazy now.
Well, I mean, you gotta look at Disney bought ABC, right?
Right.
So they really push the envelope now from what they used to do.
Oh, totally.
And I don't think Disney's that, you know, it was kind of funny. You know, we talked about this on another show. Wifey's talking about taking the Mel Munch on maybe a Disney cruise.
Uh-huh.
And if she does, she's like, I wonder if I can take some wine on board. They probably don't allow it because it's Disney. It's like,
well, sell it
on
board.
I don't think they give a fuck.
Yeah,
I mean, if you look at Epcot, it's like a parent's paradise. It's like you're walking from country to country drinking a beer from each different country.
That would
I
be awesome.
I love it, man.
Which reminds me, by the way, just as a quick aside.
Sure.
Me and a little woman were driving around near downtown the other night.
Sure.
We were going for dinner. Like, where the fuck are we going to eat? Came about this place called Cafe Brussels.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Belgian French bistro. So, like, fuck it, let's go in here. So I had, like, a leg of rabbit for dinner, and she had fucking some big ass piece of fish. And it's because it's Belgian, so it's like all this Belgian beer on tap. They had quark. They had fucking they had fucking the trapeze, the Ormond or Orville or whatever it is, the Or.
Yeah, Orval.
Yeah, that one. They got all of the classics. They got Chimay, of course, everything on tap. And I was like,
wow,
holy
sweet.
Fuck. If we ever want some, you know, Belgian beer on tap,
yeah,
that's the fucking place to go.
Was it quiet to where we could do a show?
Oh, yeah. There was, like, nobody there when we went.
Is it quaint? Could we hold hands?
It was quaint. It gave me a taste of old Belgium.
Do we hold hands?
Oh, that goes without saying.
Great.
Fucker found the switch.
Back on,
I know. He's got his screwdriver in his hand with a big smile, like, I win. All right, that's enough.
I'm going to record the show that night, okay?
I like how these guys are jumping around like they're solid gold dancers.
I'm going to solidify your fucking butt.
Okay. Yeah, you're like the pot called the kettle black.
I wonder what tour this is.
Is this like the fucking heyday? Because they got a huge giant stage set up. That doesn't look like a fucking little club, which is where they play now, right?
No. Well, it said like 88 to like 98.
Holy fuck. So yeah, that is their heyday.
They say Beer, Steers, and Queers up there? They're fucking... What's revolting cocks? No, this is back in the heyday.
Wow.
Oh, dude, I saw them. Saw them on the first tour in a club, I think.
Nice.
And then saw them open for Motley Crue, and I think they're better than Motley Crue.
Blood, Sweat, and Beers is what it says back.
Oh, really?
In giant fucking letters the size of the fucking members of the band.
Probably in Japan.
I mean, it looks like the stage for a Whitesnake video. Who's the guitarist?
Joey Allen.
Joey Allen. Did he ever do anything besides Warrant?
Nah. I don't know what he did.
But he can play, huh?
Yeah, he's not bad. It'd be interesting. He had some really cool, tasteful little solos back in the day.
He was a fucking drummer. That dude's fucking built like a fucking swimmer.
Oh, Steve Sweet?
Yeah, that's right.
It's the sweet one.
No, he looks like fucking Michael Phelps. He's built like a fucking athlete, man. He looks all ripped.
You know, we're going to see them in October.
Yep.
And we got Mason singing because Lane's...
I bet that's fucking sweet,
deceased.
Dude.
Deceased.
Because Mason's fucking voice is amazing.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Genghis and I were talking prior to recording here, and...
will he speak of the cock, Holmes?
I'm hoping he'll talk about all about the cock.
He's like, tell us about the cock.
We will. We'll do that. If we get to meet Mason, that's the first question I'm going to say. I was like, Robert Mason, thank you, man. Warrant.
What's the current state of the cock?
What is... That's what we'll do. It's our pact.
That's right.
Right?
I think we always have to talk about the cock when we're around
Just
Robert
say,
Mason.
What's the current state of the cock? And I'll say, what do you think about the cock?
Like, where's the cock? Is it down? Is it kind of coming up?
Do you still think about the cock when you think of David Hensley?
He just started getting pissed. And then he realizes, oh, you mean the band? It's a joke. Got it, you motherfuckers.
You guys are a couple of...
Fucking Janie's loving it. He's like, dude, I'm going to live forever.
It is
and we're
so,
like, no, you're not.
Dude, it's so sad. I mean, what a talent.
What did he die of?
Alcohol poisoning.
Oh, fuck. So he drank himself to death. That's too fucking bad.
It's either that or drugs. I think it was alcohol.
And when was this? Like just a few years ago?
It was recent?
It's
been a while back.
Okay.
Probably at least almost 10 years ago.
Oh, okay, but it was in the 21st century, past 2000. Yeah. He was so despondent about 911, Holmes. He's like, I'm pissed off about 9/11.
He just done that fucking rehab show on VH1 or something.
With Tawny Kitaen, Holmes.
Oh, she's a nutty bitch.
I'm afraid.
She's fucking crazy.
I'm afraid so. She's not witchboard material anymore.
We went and saw, Lee and I went and saw Witchboard. I think Lee got tickets.
That's a pretty classic movie, though.
He was like writing for the paper.
Let's not shit on that movie.
No, we're not shitting on the movie. It's a great movie. But when she's in the shower and she's naked, they show her bush. And it's like, there's this dude in the audience who goes, we have bush. We have bush. I knew you wanted on the movie. It's fucking awesome, man.
And you're like, the fuck is this guy talking about?
Shit.
He's right. He's blooming right, you know.
I just like the chick from the fucking Whitesnake video showing her bush. Awesome.
Back in the day, dude. It was like it was a rite of passage in the 80s. But if you were an attractive woman, especially if you were in a fucking music video,
and you showed
you
bush.
Need to do a fucking R-rated movie, a softcore movie.
And show bush.
Show some bush.
Yes.
That's just how it was.
No bush, no happy.
And like, the beauty of it was always bush.
Yes.
Now, you're flipping a coin.
Yeah, you probably don't have a bush. Or it's a murka.
It's fucked up. A merkin. Merkin? With the fucking, the little rug.
Yeah, the little fake bush.
It's like a toupee for the pussy. We couldn't call it a pussy toupee, so we call it a merkin.
I know what you're saying.
It bothers you too, huh?
Well, I had a shave the accident. And I had to wear a merka for men.
Uh-huh.
Do they make those for dudes?
Oh, you bet
your you bet your fucking ass,
no shit. You bet your bottom dollar, right?
Yeah,
straight.
This motherfucker.
The ladies like it.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. With you.
You get it all perfumed and ready?
Good idea.
Put a little Prel in it.
Prel? I put some Pantene in mine. Fucking just straight. It's just wavy. Tossing it like a fucking head of hair.
I got me one of those little cheat. You know what a tea is. I got all the curlic. I curl out my pubes.
I braid it.
You braid it?
I get cornrows put in.
I've gone Rastafarian before. I'm just
get the dreadlocks.
Dreads. He put like cow shit in it. Fucking.
Looked like he got fucking Bob Marley in a headlock.
You know, it was weird. I was driving today. We haven't started the show. Uh-huh. But oh, fuck it. I don't care. I'm driving, dude, and there's like these metal dudes walking around. One of them's like got the dreadlocks and stuff. And I'm walking down 1960. And it's like two dudes. One dude looks like he's pissed off. He could be in a band. Another guy's got the dreads. He could be in a band. And then a couple other stragglers and a couple fat chicks in like leather. I'm like, what the fuck?
What is
3
it?
O'clock in the afternoon. What are these fucking people doing? And I'm thinking, well,
they're looking for that video. I'm supposed to be in a video 20 years ago.
I don't know if you do this, but if I see somebody that looks like they could be in a band or something, I'm like, light bulb goes off in my head. It's like, gosh,
I might
want to
pay attention.
To
yeah, see?
Maybe they're playing that FBI club that you know, Lillian Axe played. Or
right, for all I know, that is Lillian Axe just walking down the street.
I was like, okay, the best case, that could be Sepultura or something like that, and I'm not into Sepultura, so do I really care? No, I need to get to the grocery store.
It's corrosion of conformity, Holmes.
Exactly. Uh-oh, what do we got here?
I don't know, but if it makes you feel better, throw a track in there and we'll get to this beer, because I'm parched.
All right, so, oh, I'm still nursing. All right, so what we're watching is Warrant Backstage Pass, Warrant on the Sunset Strip. So, I don't know a lot about this video.
That's helpful.
I just got it. I actually want some live representation of Warrant. Because, you know, I'm a fan. I dug them back when they started, early on. I think they did some really good music. I mean, you got their cheesy songs like Cherry Pie and stuff like that. But
right.
Seriously, I mean, out of the hair bands, you must be on the Cherry Pie tour because they got a Cherry Pie chick right there.
Right.
But they did some good music. And it's not just all this cheese. There's some pretty good stuff out there. So anyway, I wanted to put this in right now. My thought was to maybe play something new, but I guess in respect to Janie, maybe we could play a Janie Lane song, and then we could play a Robert Mason song off the brand new record coming out of the beer.
Let's do it.
What do you think? You want to pick the Janie song? Do you have a favorite Warrant song? Were you ever really into them or no?
No, I think if I was going to pick one, probably my favorite is Down Boys.
Down Boys?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. We've never done that before. Let's do it.
A nice beat to it, you know?
Yeah. There's a song off, I think it's Dog Eat Dog. It's the record they did after Cherry Pie. That there's that classic story from Janie Lane where when Cherry Pie came out, posters were everywhere around the office of the record company.
Right.
They released Dog Eat Dog. I think they're on Atlantic. I can't remember. they walk in, it's Alice in Chains everywhere.
Oh, he's no, like, they're like, that's okay, okay, we'll just leave, yeah. I was going to say, we're fucked, let's
yeah.
just leave.
Yeah, he was pretty cool about that. It's a shame that he struggled with the alcohol and drugs and stuff and ultimately died.
But that's where you see this, the scene where he walks in the office and it's like,
yeah, pretty much. He walks in, walks out.
Like, I'm fucked. Yeah, he kind of walks in a circle and leaves.
I saw the writing on the wall as soon as I walked
in. For real,
like,
literally.
Oh, fuck, man.
Oh, well. Well, I'm. Let's hit into a beer and make sure. us feel better, dude. Alcohol always fixes everything.
Beer makes everything better.
I know.
Dude, you ever been to Universal?
No, yeah, you ever been to Simpsons? Right. Yeah, yeah, I bet it's awesome.
Simpsons says that. Did beer ever hurt anybody?
Does it have like a where they recreate the town, like build any part of the set?
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be all about
it. Well, it's
it,
like
dude.
You're in a roller coaster in a Springfield.
No, I mean, I don't want to be stuck on rails. I want to be able to walk where I want. Like walk into the Quickie Mart and dick around in the Quickie Mart.
Oh, yeah, they got a Quickie Mart.
So you can walk into it and buy
it's
shit.
A good store, though. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But still, that's kind of cool,
There's
though.
No slushies.
I know. Oh, that sucks.
They do sell squishies.
That's squishy. I was going to say. It's squishy.
And they sell duck beer.
Nice.
That's usually, like in Florida, it's some local crap
brewer.
Probably,
yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Crap brewer.
That's cool.
And
so it's some
California,
lager.
In California, same thing.
Nice. I'd be down
so
with
the
it.
Beer's not bad. I think last time we went to Cali, though, the duff, the kegs were bad. They
that sucks.
Had that vinegar taste to them.
Yeah,
shit.
Like they've been skunked or something.
Let me see your old glass.
Oh, yeah. Here you go. And I'll read about this. This, again, from our friends Clown Shoes. I think on our recent show, we also had a Clown Shoes beer, the Space Cake. This is the same character. It's Miracle Mike is the name of this little superhero guy who's got the M. And here he is. It says the explanation for this Aurora Orangialis India Pale Ale. It says Miracle Mike and his bulldog stopped by a strange planet and planted the Clown Shoes flag there. That's when they realized they were standing on a gigantic orange in outer space. They were just as baffled as you are now. We brewed this IPA with citrusy hops and orange zest for the occasion. Next time you look up into the night sky, look out for a spectacular light show, the Aurora Orangialis. So this is sold in a 22-ounce bomber, like most of the Clown Shoes, and it's in current production. And it's a 12-ouncer. They come in 12-ouncers, rather, and 22-ouncers. That's the bomber.
We got the 22.
Special release. It says it's been retired, but it also says that this sucker comes in at a nice, healthy 7% ABV. And it's an American IPA, so let's fucking check it out. I'm kind of excited about it because
nice.
I bet it's going to be tasty. Got a nice
part of beer, Bob.
Nice orangey color to it. Nice,
yeah, kind of clear, but a little bit of not really hazy.
I've got a 3.5.
Yeah,
with a lacing too. Let's get the aroma.
Oh,
ooh,
God,
it smells
that
nice.
Smells good.
That's a 4.
That's
right there.
That's a 4 on the floor, Holmes.
Let's dive in.
Cheers.
It. Nice.
That is fucking good.
That's nice. I've said before. IPAs, usually what kills it for me is that piney. It's so resiny and piney, it's just too much. So what I think a lot of these brewers have figured out is if we balance that with something really citrusy,
yeah,
not just a citrusy style hop, but some sort of adjunct that's something really fruity. Like we've had stuff with pineapple, with grapefruit
mangoes.
Is a popular one,
apricots.
With mangoes, with apricots. This one's with orange, apparently. And
citrusy fruits are very popular to mix with IPAs.
And it balances out really nicely. This one came out really nice. You know, we haven't even checked the temperature of any of these. Let's just out of curiosity, what are we looking at here? This is a 56.
Perfect.
So it's just about right.
Oh, yeah.
And it's served in a nice little snifter glass.
Oh, it smells so good.
Smells really nice and citrusy. I love that. For me, it can't be too citrusy for these hops, you know what I mean?
Right.
It really helps balance out that resiny, piney taste that I can't stand in
an
IPA. Well,
that's the way I got into IPAs, is the fruitier...
That was your gateway.
...infusion of, like, grapefruit or orange or something like that.
What do you think is the best representation of that you've had so far? Give me even a couple of your favorites.
I really like, believe it or not, I'm probably going to be bashed, but the Sam Adams Rebel IPA Citrus, Rebel IPA is really good.
Nice.
The Full Sail IP Papaya.
Ah, papaya. That's an unusual one. Awesome.
The Deschutes Fresh Squeezed.
Ah, it sounds nice.
Fucking nice.
Yeah.
That's the one that's got that grapefruit I told you about.
Oh, nice.
A show or two ago with the, I had that Founders Session IPA.
Uh-huh.
Victory had a Blackboard series last year that had agave and, God, what was it? Grapefruit.
Nice.
Fucking amazing.
Grapefruit seems to be a real popular one. Yeah, and I guess in part because we're lucky. We live in a coastal area. We live in Houston, of course, and that's the Gulf Coast. And that's a right around about the same sort of, what is that, latitude as Florida. So basically anything you can probably grow in Florida, you can also grow in Houston. Like, sure. You can grow a lot of shit in Houston. You can grow avocados. You can grow limes and lemons and grapefruits, a lot of citrus you can grow here really easily. Figs, we can grow a lot of really great stuff that get put into Buffalo Bayou, makes use of a lot of that shit in their beer. But because that works so well with IPAs, you think we can make some really great IPAs locally. And I'm betting, you know, some of your favorite IPAs are local brewers, right?
Local? No. Actually, no.
Really? That's surprising. Because, like I said, we are good with citrus here in Houston.
I would say the majority of my favorite IPAs are out of state. You know what? Believe it or not, I just get off the beer for a second. Jenny wrote everything.
Oh, really?
On the first two records.
That's impressive. Oh, yeah. I'll have to give him that.
Maybe not the first two records. Maybe everything. He wrote the majority of all the material.
Wow. I got to get him props for that. Okay, I had no idea.
He was talented.
That's too bad, then.
He could write good music.
But he had his demons, I guess, and the alcohol and the drugs got to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad. And hell, he was married to Bobby Brown, was her name, that hot blonde in Cherry Pie.
Yeah.
Holy crap. So it's like, what do you got to complain about? What are you, why are you drinking, dude? Or what it is people have addictions, man. And the thing is, it's like, if you have one, stay away from it, because it'll do you in, right? And I guess it did. He lost the battle eventually. Oh, well. Sorry about that, Janie. Rest in peace, buddy.
Exactly. Trying to think of my favorite IPAs local. Carbach has a nice grapefruit IPA. Deep Ellum, their Easy Peasy IPA is really nice.
I know you're a big fan of that. We had that on one of our little segments.
Yeah, but to be honest, most of the IPAs I dig are either from like Oregon or they're from like California.
California makes sense. Oregon surprises me. Although I guess it's on the coast, right? I almost got picked up that one by Stone, the Tangerine Express IPA?
That one's pretty good.
Is it? Yeah, I thought about picking that up. I didn't know if we'd had it on the show.
No, we have not. Good. Another company that I love their IPAs is probably Terrapin.
Oh, yeah?
Out of Georgia.
Mm. Yeah, you like the Terrapin Station we've had there?
Oh, I love Terrapin. I've been to the brewery.
Within Florida is where they are.
Sweetwater. They do some good IPAs.
Okay.
They have a pineapple IPA that's real good. You know, Ballast Point does a lot of really good IPAs.
Grapefruit, Sculpin, what is that IPA?
Grapefruit, the pineapple's fucking phenomenal.
Pineapple works really well with IPAs,
doesn't
it?
That's
amazing. And it's not a citrus, I guess, but it still works really well.
Right. But it's still acidic, you know.
I'm wondering then if maybe that's the deal. The acid helps to sort of balance it. If that's so, then I mean most fruits are acidic at varying levels.
Yeah.
So I wonder why you never hear of a cherry IPA. That sounds kind of neat. Or a raspberry IPA, because that would be pretty acidic.
I've had a blackberry porter through Kentucky.
Yep, they were delicious.
And then I think I've had a blackberry IPA.
Oh, really?
Did you really? Hold on, let me check out Anchor real quick.
Yeah, Gladys.
Dude, we got to finish out our fucking rating, too.
Oh, yeah. And while you're typing that up, I'll think about it. Let's see. For mouthfeel, it's got a great mouthfeel. It's really,
totally.
It very much feels, because part of mouthfeel is, does the taste fit the style? And so it really does. I mean, it's what you expect out of an IPA. There is a little bit of pininess to it, but the citrus, like we say, really balances it out and gives it a really nice overall effect. And I think that that's worthy of a 3.5 at least.
Yeah, it's between a 3.5 and a 4 for me.
And then the taste, I think I'm willing to give that a 3.5 at least.
At a minimum.
Mm-hmm. This may be a solid, you know, 3.5, 4.
Okay.
Maybe not quite a four. Not quite a four.
3.5.
Solid 3.5, I think totally. I'd say. Overall.
Definitely buy again.
Def for sure, yeah. Good stuff.
Okay, I was right. Anchor Brewing Blackberry Days IPA.
Oh, nice. That sounds good.
It's very good.
It sounds good.
Yeah, I got a six pack of that.
All right. Dude, you're slowly making me an IPA guy. That's great.
So, where is, I think Anchor's California as well.
Well, I might mention here while we got a moment is I'm going to be in the second week of August, I should say. Coming up, I'm going to be in San Diego. So that's going to be pretty sweet because, as we know, San Diego is a fucking gold mine of fucking breweries.
You say San Francisco?
No, San Diego.
Frisco.
Diego.
I'm coming, right?
I don't know what you're doing up in that booth, but I'm going to San Diego.
I'm coming.
Thank God for the switch. What's great is when I hit it and he doesn't even know it. He's still up there dicking around and I'm not hearing a word of it.
He put on a sombrero, too.
This guy with his maracas.
Yeah.
It's nice. I'm going to go down to San Diego.
Nice.
I'm going to fucking have some fun. I got a show. A conference I'm doing. It's for work, so I'm going to be learning some stuff. But we'll have a little bit of off time. And when I do, I'm going to spend that fucking relaxing on the beach or something. Enjoying that fucking California weather that I don't ever get here in Houston. And hopefully it won't be too fucking hot.
Yeah, you need to go to
You got recommendations?
Not too far.
Because you're more of an LA guy when you go to California.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to fucking Mexico, I'll tell you that.
Stone's close.
Oh, really?
I think they're in San Bernardino, though.
Well, here's the deal is when, what's cool is through my company, we did this last year is the first time I ever did it, is we went to...
Holy shit! No offense.
Holy shit, what are you tripping on?
There's like 100 breweries in San Diego.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. It's huge. It's crazy.
These are all the breweries.
Fuck me.
That's what I'm saying.
Holy shit. Now, maybe, you know, they can't all be badass, yeah. Right? So maybe there's some mediocre breweries.
Stone's there. I was right.
Stone is definitely there.
Stone.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you got to go to Stone. If not, you're not a real beer drinker.
Then you need to fucking quit drinking beer.
Yeah.
I definitely plan on, I would like to go to one of them, because this is what I was getting at, is that with this company, with my company, this conference, everybody else coming to the conference, what's cool is we all use the same software for our business. So there's these companies that use the software. They're all over the world. There's some from Australia. There's some in England. Some in Ireland. It's really cool because it's the entertainment business. And so we got people come from all over the country, certainly in the U.S. And what's neat is a lot of us are fucking beer heads. We're really into beer. So they organize this thing. It's the beer swap. We meet up at the very beginning of the conference. The conference really starts on Monday proper and ends on Thursday. But some stuff happens on Sunday, and so a lot of people arrive Saturday. And what we're going to do is on Saturday night, we're going to get together, and it's like, bring out your beers. Bring your beers from your local area. We're in Houston. So I'm going to bring some Houston local beers and then trade them out for other people. And what we do is we draw numbers to see the order we go in, and then it's like everybody puts their beer in the center of the table, and you just go, I want that one. And you just keep going until you run out of beers. Nice. So you just grab whatever beers you can, and some of the stuff people pull out, you know, it's local shit that you couldn't get there unless you traveled to that state. Like Three Floyds is one of the holy grails. They got that, what is it called, Dark Lord Day or whatever. It only happens one day a year. I think they're in Illinois, maybe? But only one day a year they have what they call Dark Lord Day, when the brewery, Three Floyds Brewery, says they release this one particular beer, and people come from all over the country to get that shit because you can only get it at the brewery. So it's kind of like the brewery with their, Dark Tuesday or whatever it's called?
Black Tuesday.
Or Thursday.
Black Tuesday,
is that what it is? Yeah, and then they, and you can only get it at the brewery. So anyway, Three Floyds, they are located, let's see where these guys are. They're in Indiana. They're located in Munster, Indiana. And they have, like I said, once a year, I think it's the same day every year, They have, are you 21? Yes. I'm going into their site because their beer, the beer is legendary. It's one of those white whale beers.
Wow.
And what is it? Seasonal, I think it is. It's called the Dark Lord Imperial or some shit. You're just like, holy, it sounds amazing. Here's one here on their site. It's called the BA Blot Out the Sun. Aged in cognac barrels for 18 months. Quote, since the dawn of time, it has been mankind's dream to blot out the sun. That's from Siga Montgomery Burns, Holmes. The stout, it's an imperial stout that's 10.4% IBU 97. So that's a pretty hellacious brew. But the real big one, trying to find it, is the, I think it's called the Dark Lord. Fuck, I don't see it on here. Let me see. Because they, like I said, pub only. Maybe that's where I should be looking. I'm on their website. And the $26 million man. The War Mullet, Holmes. War Mullet. That sounds, there it is, the 2016 Dark Lord. Here's this thing. It's legendary. It's every year they have, they, it's like a big festival they have up there. And it says here, a demonic Russian-style imperial stout brewed with coffee, Mexican vanilla, and Indian sugar. This beer defies description. Available one day a year in April at the brewery, Dark Lord Day. It's a Russian Imperial Stout, ABV 15%.
Fuck.
IBU is 50. This motherfucker is the shit, is what everybody says about who's ever had it. But like I said, you can only get it in Munster, Indiana, one day a year. Damn. So it's super, you know, fucking exclusive. So I'm hoping somebody from who uses the software in Indiana will come to the conference, bring a bottle of this shit.
That'd be the shit.
And I'll be like, that's my motherfucker.
So is
right
it like
there.
Secret Santa?
Well, what it is
grab your beer?
Everybody shows up and everybody shows up and brings the beer, sets it in the middle of the table, then we, you know, pass around numbers. You pick a number out of the hat, you know, like this is the order we go in, and then you just grab whatever you want, one at a time, until all the beers are gone.
So we have an IPA still from last year.
Well, that's the thing. I go, what I do is I pack six bomber style, you know, the 750 milliliter bottles, like wine bottles, in the special container, and I ship it up there. So I always have six beers, big beers to go.
Is that kind of what they ask?
No, they'll just take whatever. Some people took cans of beer. There was one, some guy took a brown ale in a can. I don't remember what it was. It was fucking delicious. I drank both beers before I got here. I said, fuck
thank
it.
Thank you.
In the hotel room. They're sitting in my fridge, and I was like, fuck it. I got
to
drink.
I want to try it.
They were delicious, Holmes. I had to leave one in the fridge when I left the hotel room. I couldn't drink it. I was like, I got to go. I got to leave, and I couldn't take it with me.
Why didn't you put it in your suitcase?
I couldn't. Fuck, when I got to the airport, I'd be fucked. You know, what am I going to do with it? Throw it away?
Your bag?
No, I never check my bag. I take it with me. I don't go through that checkout shit.
Oh, dude, I check it all the time.
That's for facts. Everybody knows that.
That's why I get 2.5 cases of beer.
It says right on the label, check-ins for facts.
That's why I have 2.5
picture
of
like
beer
Andy
from
Dick.
Cali, Colorado, and Pennsylvania, and you don't. I'm just saying.
And then I've got a 12-inch cock, so, I mean, we each have our things we have to...
12 inch after you fuck her four times.
I meant 12 centimeter. No, anyway, seriously, though, it's I'm excited because more and more people are part of this group every year. There's like the little news group where like, oh, I'm bringing this and I'm bringing this. And I said, well, I'm going to bring these things. Will people bring, because I've asked for some specific stuff. In North Carolina, there's a brewery that has the Mexican cake.
Oh,
is
nice.
Their beer. That shit sounds phenomenal, but it's only available, of course, in North Carolina. I'm hoping somebody will bring that shit. Some chick says, we have this brewery, and they have this, and I'll bring that if somebody wants it. I'm like, fuck yeah, bring it. It sounded amazing. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, fuck. There could be some really amazing beer at this thing is what I'm getting at, and I'm going to fill up my six, pop it in there, go to FedEx, and go mail that fucker back, and that way I don't ever have to check anything.
Sure.
It all just goes through the mail. That's pretty sweet. So anyway, my point is I'm hoping to pick up some kick-ass exclusive beers from around the country and bring them back to the show so we can talk about them and review them for y'all's badasses.
Enjoying pleasure.
Exactly. Enjoying. I want to give you pleasure. No, seriously, though, I'm pretty excited about it.
Put to a doctor, you will.
So what do we do? We
haven't even done shit. We haven't even done a rating.
We haven't started a topic. We didn't finish our rating. I think we finished.
3.5?
I think I rated it, yeah. Overall, I think I'd give it a 3.5.
Okay. All right, we're going to go with a band called Straight Line Stitch.
Mm.
A little bit Ulta band.
Yeah, you played some for me. It sounded amazing.
This record came out in 2011. The record was called The Fight of Our Lives. The song is called No Tomorrow. Surprise! They put the thing over her face.
The fucking dirty, rotten, filthy, or whatever picture.
Well, show her ass in her panties and her bra. We're not gonna show her bloody face.
Cause she's 15.
Oh, no shit.
Probably.
Get arrested. Oh, I feel bad.
Why?
We were supposed to play a brand new Warrant track.
You son of a bitch.
With the Masonator.
Bobby Mace?
He likes to be likes to be called the Masonator.
I'm sorry, the Masonator.
All right, so Warrant has a brand new record with Robert Mason called Louder, Harder, and Faster.
You really made that sound rock and roll.
All right, guys. This is a new word. This is called Louder, Harder, and Faster. Here on WK2M4Fest.
On Dave TV.
Everybody's going to be playing. Now, let's play Devil Dance. I was like, no, we're not going to play that.
Yeah, fuck you.
Because we are the right to fucking rock. And we play what the fuck we want.
Damn.
Except if McJesus tells us to play something different.
Right.
Let's do it. I just tried out for Meatless Poem movie. Oh, you boys all act like you're going to pee on the wall.
I know,
this would
it's
be
hilarious.
Great for the video.
It's insouciant. We don't care about rules.
He's like, where are the groupies? He's like, no, there's no groupies. You just need to act like you're pissing
you're just
on the wall.
A bunch of creeps. Oh, that was the cops. Like, here they come to fucking bust. What the fuck? Is
what
that one
the
of those
hell?
VW trucks or whatever those are?
God, this is dated.
This is dated as fuck, dude.
Is this like, oh, it's like, we're cool. We're cool, motherfucker. Dude, if we meet.
Everything's made out of denim.
Person, I'm going to ask him about this video.
And he just fucking like, he does the fucking Malkovich. Doesn't talk to you. He does the sip. It never stops. No, so, So what
you
do you think?
What? If I'm them, I'm like, we're not filming this. No.
So do we have an actual topic at all? Or are we just fucking around?
Our topic is how cool you are.
Our topic is how you don't shut the fuck up.
Our topic is how gay John is. Is he gay or is he not gay?
And how would we ever possibly tell?
I don't know. He's like, what are the all those people that have like both androgynous?
Excuse me.
I knew it was coming. Yeah.
You say my name?
Yeah, we might have mentioned you.
What's the deal?
Are you producing, or are you like doing what you should be doing, or we're just trying to like check on you to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Sounds like you're fucking asleep.
I think you're producing something, and I don't want to know what it is. But it's not our fucking show.
Yes. I'm okay. I just had a rough night.
Okay, good. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Cool.
You want to talk about it?
No, we don't.
Nope, take it easy.
We got time to do that later time.
You sure you don't have time?
Yeah, I'm sure we do.
Right, just leave a voicemail. We'll listen to it later.
Is McCheese around? Can we talk to him instead?
He's not here.
That's a fucking miracle.
No shit. I'm not sure if I'm happy about that or not.
Don't make me laugh. I'm going to cough all over you. I'm going to cough all over you.
What the fuck are you even doing?
You don't know that song.
I'm going to cough all over you?
All over you? Oh, by AC/DC?
That I know, but not cough all over you.
I'm going to cough all over you. Let's go ahead and play some AC/DC.
Sure. Somebody that sounds like AC/DC rather than what you're doing. Do it. This is 1945. That's how old this is. This is before electricity.
So early 60s.
This is so old that the electricity was actually drawn on paper. You all right? All right, we clearly have no topic. We're going to have to do a lot of editing here.
No, we don't. No, we're good.
Then are we going to do a song? Let's do a song.
Well, talk about the peanuts.
Let's do a fucking song before you talk about anything.
Charlie Brown.
Because you're getting goofy now.
Charlie Brown.
He's Charlie a clown.
Oh, no.
We're doing fucking shit from the 50s now.
Hold on.
Why is everybody always picking on me? I fucking love that song, dude.
Oh, me too. What the fuck is with this video?
It does seem very disjointed, like a lot of just random shit glued together. Pretty much. It's not like a whole song.
That was like, that's why it was $7. Well, it's kind of cool to see him back in the heyday, I thought.
And still fucking Steve Sweet refused to put on any fucking clothes.
I will not wear a shirt,
I'm just going to wear bicycle shorts and that's it, the rest of my life. When they bury him, the motherfucker will be in bicycle shorts.
What the hell?
At his wedding, he had bicycle shorts and a black tie, that's it.
What the, there was a show, actually a video they did back early on.
It looks like
it's
a Man of War fucking video.
I think it was on the Dirty Rotten... Filthy Secret
Dirty Rotten Filthy Scoundrels?
Yeah, that one. No, but they did a whole like concert like Japan or somewhere like that. It came out VHS, and I thought there'd probably be footage from that. Maybe there was a show that they did towards the end.
Janie couldn't be bothered to not smoke a cigarette while he's singing the song. What a fuckhead. I mean, he's singing with the cigarette in his fingers as he's holding the mic.
In the middle of the arena.
Still, though, I gotta say, for a band like Warrant, this is their heyday. It's the biggest they ever got, and yet, look at them. They packed a fucking stadium. He's in the center like he's motherfucking Axl Rose. Like he's fucking Robert Plant. So for that, seriously, for that brief moment in time, wasn't very long, for a brief moment in time, he got to feel like he was the shit. I bet that's a pretty cool feeling.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That not a lot of us get to experience.
And again, if we get to interview Warrant, they're going to be here in a few months, mm-hmm. and then we're going to do our best. But being in person with them, it could be a little bit more interesting. I mean, there's some interviews that Genghis unfortunately can't be on. It's during the day. It's kind of hard to...
Scheduling is always an issue, sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, if we could get in there, and I feel confident, especially after the Eric Martin interview,
mm-hmm.
that... We can kind of go places that you almost think, well, it's not safe to go. But what do we got to lose? We got four people listening to our show. So, I mean, why not ask the question that everybody wants to ask?
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you know, what was it like playing stadiums and what's it like playing clubs now? You know,
it's reasonable.
Do you still get as jacked up as you did back in the day? Or
right.
Do you diffuse a little bit, or is it like we're rebuilding? You know, what's it feel like?
Sure. Or realistically, do you just say, it was that at the time, obviously the times have changed, and it's not to say I'm not, nobody now, I'm still filling this room, but it's smaller scale, as would be expected after. I mean, I'm not the Stones,
right.
So I can't expect to have stadiums 30 years later. I mean, those people have grown up, and the new kids don't even know me. So that's fine. That's understandable.
New kids on the block? Or
yeah. So, point being that, it's all proportionate to the time and space that you're in.
Right.
But certainly you can look back and say, you know what? I may not be big now, as big as I was, but there was a time when I, for a brief moment, I was kind of like that day's version of the Stones. So, I can be proud of that.
But you know what? That's a question we've never asked in an interview. It's like, you almost feel like a dick asking the question.
Yeah, you don't want to look like you're trying to catch him in a moment. Like, look, haha, what do you think of that, motherfucker? Like, look at us, big shots, asking like, well, I'm not fucking Mike Wallace.
I think you could be PC enough to say, okay, granted, we were living another time in the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
We're in the new millennium. You know, what's it like playing to crowds now opposed to what it was like back in the day? I would say now you really have to be on top of your game opposed to what you had to be back in the day. Back in the day, you had a new single. If you could suck ass, As long as you had a single, people are still going to come see you.
Huh. You almost seem to be saying, and I'm not necessarily saying I agree or disagree, you almost seem to be saying it's like we would accept anything back then. We were stupid or something. Do you think we're smarter now?
Discriminating, rather? Full of cum.
Okay.
We have this hit single.
Uh-huh.
We can party our asses off while we're playing. We party after we're playing.
Like you've seen in these videos,
yeah,
I see exactly what you mean.
All night long.
Right.
We could do drugs all day,
mm-hmm.
and we still do it every night.
Oh, yeah.
We paid our dues in the clubs.
Right.
We're on the Motley Crue tour.
So we've earned this?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I wonder what the dynamic is now. I wonder if it's like, wow, we really got to have our shit together now, opposed to what we had to back in the day. You had more exposure back in the day. You were making money when you sold records.
Things were more dependent, it's true, in part of what you're saying, is things were more dependent on the radio.
Right.
If you had the station behind you, your single was out there, you know, on maximum rotation, then even the shittiest band, if you just keep pounding into people's heads, it's just in their head, and they're just like, oh, yeah, you're that band. I know who you are. Not because you're that famous and amazing and deserving of my knowing who you are. It's just I can't escape you. You're every fucking where I go.
You're on TV. You're on the radio.
Whereas now, if you're going to be somewhere, because you don't have that anymore, because who listens to the fucking radio anymore?
Nobody.
It's like you're there because I want you there, because everything's on demand now. So if I'm listening to you, it's because I fucking found you, either on my favorite podcast or I went out and bought your album on iTunes, or you know what I'm saying? Right. I had to go looking for you, meaning I already knew who you were, and I wanted to hear your music. Mm-hmm. A lot harder to make that target audience than before.
True.
It was like a shotgun before. It's like, I'll just throw that shit out there, and you're going to hear it whether you want to or not.
Yeah, because the record company's putting a lot of money into us.
Right. The closest thing to that these days is people like, you know, what's her face? Katy Perry or Miley Cyrus or whoever the fuck. Beyonce, where it's like, I can't escape you. You're every fucking where I go.
Right. And they make sure that you're everywhere.
Right, exactly. You're
it's
plastered
all
over the
media.
Fucking place. Social media is a big fucking thing. And I doubt
they say
the old
the
rockers.
News. But, I mean, and I'm not knocking Warrant, because I love Warrant. I like the stuff they're doing today.
Right.
But, I mean, back in the day, they were everywhere. They were all over MTV. That was a big media. There was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. There was no social media. There was none of that bullshit going on. You had MTV. That was your social media back in the day.
Right.
Now
kids today who are the same age we were, you're not going to see that shit on MTV.
It's YouTube.
It's YouTube or it's, what else? I guess radio's kind of dead. So what are you listening to? It's
satellite,
YouTube or I guess social media, whatever your friends say they heard somewhere.
Satellite radio's not going to play New Warrant. Unless it's like on Eddie Trunk or something like that.
That's why
he may play one song one time, and that's it.
That's hardly what it used to be.
He's not going
to
fucking sit there and play it every week.
Right.
He's going to play Request. He's going to play... And the only reason he's going to play Warrant is if somebody's coming out from the band.
Right. But like compare that to...
good buddies of mine. Jerry Dixon just tweeted me and we're going to... texted me, and we're going to. And I just sucked his cock. I mean, I'm going to play their new song.
And you know, compare that to back in the day. Imagine a normal day for any teen. It was, I wake up in the morning. That song I like from that band, they're playing it when I wake up.
Right.
You don't listen to the radio again. I mean, you're out the door. You walk to school or take the bus. You get to. You may have a Walkman. You listen to that song. You get to the class. Nothing. Until you get out of class, you know, again, if you're listening to anything in between, it's your Walkman that you have. So it's you pick the music.
Is this 80s or 90s?
80s. When we were kids, in other words.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it.
Oh,
and
dude,
then,
I read Metal Edge, Circus,
so there was that.
Liberator.
But now, if you listen to something, it's I'm on my iPhone, and I pick it through iTunes or one of the radios or a podcast or something
Pandora.
Like that. Yeah. In other words... it's not the same model.
Right.
Back then, the model was, here is a speaker that's blaring out whatever it blares out. You have no control over it. Whatever it plays, you have to listen to or listen to nothing.
Right.
That's the only choice you got. Or listen to another clone of me that's playing something similar. There were times, I remember back in the 80s, where I'd hear a song and go, here's this song, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Turn the station real quick to another station that I like. You know, you got your favorites. You click the button to the next station. it's playing the exact same song, but five seconds behind.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy fuck, are y'all all playing the same song at the same time? It's almost like you figured, I assumed at the time that the guy at, like, you know, 104 was listening. He goes, oh shit, they're playing that song. They're playing it before us. Quick, play that song. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the next station, like, yep, we just started playing it because they were playing it, so we're five seconds behind it. Yeah, it's like that's all they're doing. Like, everybody's listening to what everybody else is playing. We better play it too or we're fucked.
Right.
So that you essentially, you, everybody's playing the same thing at the same time all the time.
Sure.
So it's, you were at the mercy of whatever the fuck they were playing. And you figured that was a kickback situation. EMI or fucking Atlantic Records or whatever would say, here's our new single. Here's a fucking bucket of money. Play that song every fucking chance you get. Play that fucking song. You know? We don't give a fuck if anyone calls and requests it. You, every 5 seconds, play that fucking song. Here's the money to pay for that. And that was that. So in other words, you were at the mercy of the record companies and who had the most money. And that was the song that was pounded into your fucking head because you had no other way to listen to music. I love that everything's on demand now. I haven't listened to the radio in fucking 20 years because everything is on my mixtape or on my mixed USB. And that's what I fucking listen to now. I fucking can't stand radio.
Yeah, I can't either.
If and for no other reason, all the fucking commercials.
Yeah.
In an hour's worth of programming on any given station back in the day, you had about 30 minutes worth of music.
Sure.
And 30 fucking minutes of commercials. It was annoying as fuck. Mm-hmm. Or the DJ's going, huh, how you doing, Bob? Huh, well, the traffic's really bad. It's like, well, it's not as bad as your wife. And you're just like, what the fuck am I listening to? I don't give a fuck about these assholes' personal lives and their shitty fucking jokes. Yeah. It's like, I want to hear my music.
That's a good joke, though.
Well, it was fucking annoying. Don't you remember that shit? I couldn't stand it. So when I got my Walkman, I mean, the first Walkmans I had, if you go and look on Google and Google Walkman and all the different models that came out, they had a shit ton of models. Sony Walkman, I had like almost every model that came out between 84 and 90. I fucking was always buying the latest model of Walkman because I always had a cassette tape in there and I was always listening to my fucking tapes. I never listened to the radio. Couldn't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing that for like 30 years now. But anyway, nowadays, like I say, it's more of a model of if I want to hear something, I'll go get it and pull it down to my device, iPhone, whatever, and listen to it myself. So I determine what I listen to. It's not controlled anymore. So with that very choosy sort of situation among your average teen, they're only listening to the shit that they want to hear, which is probably based on what their friend said is cool, not what they think is cool. So you still get a fucking mind warp sort of situation. It's like we're all the collective. The hive says we should listen to this song. But anyway, I think that that really still affects people, just like teens of our day. It's still the same situation. If my friends think it's cool, I should listen to it. If not, I better not tell them about it or something. And I think now it's a lot harder for a band to make it. Because now they have to just get themselves out. It's like if your social media game is strong enough, you're going to push in past all the other sounds and get a listen from somebody. It's nice that we have an outlet where, because we review music, it's sort of like, here's a repository for all the new shit that's out. Listen to stuff and review it. And that gives us a sort of constant new stream of new music to listen to. Which is nice, but otherwise I don't know where I'd hear it because I refuse to listen to the radio.
Yeah, I have a car that didn't have a satellite, or it's kind of tough to get like a USB in for like an iPod or something like that. Uh-huh. So I listen a little terrestrial, but typically what I listen to now, not to sound like an old dude, but is probably like. Probably like a classic rock or something like that, you know?
Right.
I don't know. YouTube is kind of fun, too. I mean, you can find some cool stuff on YouTube from now and again. But there's still a couple magazines like Metal Hammer, Kerrang, if you can find it. Classic Rock is probably a really good one. So probably Classic Rock, Metal Hammer, probably the best two. And I was going to mention, there's a band that I discovered. I played for you tonight. I don't think you were as impressed as I am. called the Picture Books.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a song called Your Kisses Burn Like Fire.
They were weird.
Oh, they're very weird.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're not talented. They're just really different than I'm used to.
It's like a dude playing guitar and a drummer. And I saw the cover of the new record. I'm like, well, that's interesting. I wonder what they sound like. So
sure.
I put in, like, in my little Google search. And I listened, and I liked it. And I'm like, it's almost like Indian music, like Native American Indian music with the drums.
Yeah.
And a guy like wailing away. And then the guitar is just dirty and nasty and ugly. And I don't know. I like it.
It's fun to discover a new band.
Yeah.
Especially if it's one that's just different than anything else you listen to. You feel like, oh, I've come across something no one else has come across. It feels kind of exciting. Like, I discovered something.
But I didn't know who they were until I saw an article... our promotional page for Picture Books in Classic Rock Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm about to purple.
But through that, you discovered something new. That's the thing. It's kind of exciting. In this world where everything is known all over the world almost instantly because of the internet, it's cool to find something and go, I haven't heard this anywhere else.
Right.
I discovered this. No one brought it to my attention. I fucking discovered it.
Exactly.
And I like it. So it's kind of cool. You don't get that kind of level of discovery anymore in the world with its interconnectedness.
Well, I've done that with bands before, and it's like, oh, that sucks. You know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes what you find isn't so great.
But this one, I don't know. The Metal Bunch is like, Daddy, you really like that? I'm like, in a weird way, yes. I'm not going to buy it. I shouldn't buy it, but I'm going to buy it. And I bought it.
How about, I was wrong.
Let's play some Picture Books.
Yeah. Give me an idea what you're talking about.
This is called Your Kisses Burn Like Fire. And again, don't judge. We can give you a good, like, 60, 90 seconds to judge. And if it sucks, you know, whatever. It's on you.
Keep it
not
to
me.
Yourself.
I told you about them.
Right.
That's all I did. I just said,
I'm not
what?
Responsible.
I'm not in the band.
I'm not on trial here.
Right. If McCheese were here, I'd be on trial.
He puts
you misled
on.
Those people. You're slanderous.
Now you're going to pay.
Yeah, he tried to fucking sue me, the prick.
He sues everybody.
I know. So, here's some Picture Books.
Shabby.
They're not great, but I like them. I don't know why.
There's nothing it's wrong weird. With it. Nothing wrong. You ain't got to apologize.
I'm not.
That's the thing about if you're going to have this new world that we're in where music can come from anywhere, whether it's you discover through a YouTube video or through somebody on social media mentions it and you go check it out or whatever, you know, it's you're more likely to find stuff you never would have found back in the day.
Sure.
It would have just been somebody in Canada who no one ever heard of unless they lived in that town and heard of them locally. So that's cool. I like that. And by the same token, it's like, if you like it, that's great.
Run with
you may be the only one who fucking likes it.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of the interconnected world and the internet is I can find, if I'm into jazz metal with a chick singer that's got, you know, bongos and samples from cartoons or something, you know, that's a weird, really specific thing. But if somebody scratches that itch for me, cool, enjoy
I'm
it.
In. Yeah,
enjoy
right.
it, yeah. And if no one else enjoys it, oh well, I've got this album that I'll have for the rest of my life that has a bunch of great tunes that really does scratch that one particular itch, and I think that's pretty cool. There ain't nothing to be upset about.
Sure.
So
anyway, you want to go to a classic?
Yeah, let's just jump into that.
Mr. G. Classics.
Classic of the show. You got one?
Yeah.
What you got over there, Paisan?
I got a little Black Label Society.
Your little BLS?
My boy, Zach.
He's an Aussie now.
I know, isn't that weird?
BLS is done.
One fucking album. He had a new guy, Gus G, gets rid of, big
I'm
fucking fanfare.
Happy. Don't start with
gets
me.
Gets rid of Zach and goes, this is my new guy. I, you know, the crown comes down from the heavens and lands on the head of lands on the head of Gus G. Like, it's my new boy, right?
And then sense.
They make an album, and he's like, so is Zach still on the line? Can I call him? You know, it's like, oh god. And Gus tries to be cool about it, like, that's totally cool, man. You do what you got to do. And he's thinking, you motherfucker. But whatever, that's fine. He's the boss. He has his right to do whatever. Seems a little odd to me, but what's cool is I'll always have my Black Label Society because I love Zach's solo shit, which basically was Black Label Society.
Sure.
He built that into a huge fucking thing, dude. And even if not leave the music out of it, the fucking merchandising is amazing. He's got fucking Black Label Society coffee. You know?
Coffee?
Yeah, he's got some Valhalla coffee. I think it's Valhalla Java or something is the name of the coffee company.
Nice.
That has his particular coffee. It's called the Odin Force Blend. And that's his fucking coffee. And it's like he's always fucking tweeting about it on Instagram. He's got a fucking picture of him with his I got the cup. I got the Scully Mug of Doom. It's like the little skull, and on the back is the label for the Black Label Society. I got that at home at work. I use that. He's got it too, and he'll show up and he's like, oh, let's just drink him up my fucking Odin Force blend, brah. And he's just like, woo, he's a goofy motherfucker, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He makes the goofiest fucking movies where he's like, wah! He acts like a fucking clown.
You
like
go back to drinking.
He's crazy, yeah. It's like, you need alcohol, bro. Anyway, that all aside, I love Black Label Society, I always will, and my classic would come from the Blessed Hellride album, which came out in 2003.
Good album.
Great fucking album. It's the fourth studio album by Black Label Society. It's got a mix of heavy and lighter tunes. And my favorite, the second track, Doomsday Jesus, was featured on the soundtrack to a video game, MTX Moto Tracks. Nobody fucking bought it or played it, I think, but had some altered lyrics. But I always liked that song, so let's hit that, baby.
Let's do it.
Sure enough.
about the fucking pinch harmonics. He's the master of pinch harmonics. Solid. It's like woo, woo, woo. I love that shit.
Do you think you took vocal lessons from Trey Parker?
That or somebody out of Leonard Skinner or somebody.
Skinner, yeah.
The Allman Brothers. He's clearly a fucking Allman Brothers fan.
It's all about the titty.
He's like, I'm singing about the Allman Brothers. He's that kind of fucking shit. Anyway, what you got, Holmes?
My
Mr. Wise Ass.
My classic pick is a Gold Triumph.
Nice.
I feel like I'm triumphing this show tonight.
I'm hip.
Now, I'm going to pick an album that's not that well known.
Oh, if you did.
Could have been lost in the shuffle.
Good. Because if you didn't, I'd fucking beat your ass.
Sport of Kings.
Nice.
How about Tears in the Rain?
I like
it. Remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
Tears in the Rain. Badass song.
I'll hear it. So.
That's all I'm saying.
So excited about how you're fucking doing it.
All right, Holmes. Well, do you have a pick of the week?
The week? You want to know the pick of the week?
Picks of the week.
I'm thinking if I haven't played them already, I honestly don't remember. But let's take something off Ancient Ascendant.
Who?
I don't know if you heard those guys. Ancient Ascendant. They're amazing, Holmes. They're a British heavy metal band. And I think they're great. Their third album, Raise the Torch, is an impressive mix of many different metal styles in a cohesive new hybrid. That's what I said in my review. And I think if we're going to pick a tune off of that one, I would go with... Well, let's try Scaling the Gods. It's got a nice chorus to it. Almost sounds like a Lost Monkeys tune, is what I said in my review. But a nice heavy tune, so let's check that out.
At the last train to Coxville.
Killer Holmes.
My tune's going to come from a new band called The Unity, or at least they're new to me.
Nice.
And then their album's called The Unity, so that tells me, you know what? We're unified. We could be new, and we're not going to even like bother with the title. We're just going to call it ourselves, right?
Get on with it.
Okay. You sound like Michael Monroe. Stop it over there. I get long in the tongue. Is that what they call it? Long in the tongue?
Not at all.
There's long in the tooth, but that means getting old.
Long in the tooth.
That means getting old.
I know what long in the tongue means.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
What's your interpretation?
Just like talking to me.
That you're a weird motherfucker? My girlfriend does.
Wow!
Blew your fucking mind, didn't I?
Maybe.
Just play the fucking tune, you goofy motherfucker.
So, so this is the Unity. I don't know much about them, but they kind of have the classic hard rock feel to them. A little bit kind of metal, a little bit rock and roll. This song's called "The Wishing Well."
Something evil is coming to our home. Whisper on the phone. Says you're leaving. Now you're walking at my side. You feed the rumors. When you say it's just the lie.
By design, that was a pretty good show there.
That was a good show. Guys, as always, you know, we didn't really have a topic, but I think we got into some pretty cool stuff.
We talked about some relevant shit.
A few things here and there.
Hey, before we go, I want to do a shout-out to one of our Twitter fans. Yeah, that's right. We got Twitter fans, motherfucker. We got one whole Twitter fan.
Hold on. I'm going to do this while you do say Twitter.
Twitter?
Tweet.
He rocks in the treetops all day long, Holmes. You motherfucker.
Go ahead and do your thing. I'll do that.
Yeah, that won't ruin anything. You motherfucker. No, it's one of our listeners. I didn't even know this that we had a fucking faithful Twitter listener. This guy, I think he's from Mexico. Okay, whenever you're done. You silly motherfucker. No, we got a guy that listens to us from Mexico. I think that's where he's from. His handle
Hola,
is...
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
His,
me.
His handle is Megaroro, which is, at least I think I'm saying that right.
Is it Megadead?
Megadead. I think we've talked about that before.
Codemus Rock.
You silly motherfucker. Megaroro, he's a pretty cool motherfucker. He says that he really digs listening to our podcast, and in fact, he actually has our first podcast
the
on MP3.
First podcast.
He's got it on MP3, and he saved it. And like, he's like, I'm a fucking fan.
You're the man, bro.
And I mean, he's only ever made 5 tweets, so We were one of them, possibly two of them.
Nice.
Yeah, he just said, let's see, he said, hey, thanks, Mr. Genghis. I'm an avid fan of your podcast since the first one that I still keep as an MP3 file. And by the way, is it possible to review or talk about glam and or hard rock bands again? So I think we'll have to do a glam show coming up.
Hell yeah. Well, we just for did that tonight with Warrant with that thing.
What in the fuck?
What the fuck is that?
I don't know, it's freaking
like
me
the
out.
Like dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking rich dude.
No, but
tits.
Maybe that's the stuff he wears underneath the suit.
Yeah,
I was gonna say it looks like my ex-wife. <Da-dum-dum>. I don't have an ex-wife, but it was a good joke.
Nice, nice shrimp shot.
I thought it was fucking David Lee Roth, Holmes, and one of his characters is like, I still dress up like this at home.
How?
On Dave TV.
Why is he filling his balls?
Because that's something that character would do, I guess. He's a vile character.
He picked his nose.
But anyway, thanks, Megaroro, for being a listener. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, bud.
And next show that we do on Glam, we'll just dedicate that to you, brother.
Sure, man.
What do you think of that? I think that dude is his little avatar. I think that's homeboy from, is that from Manowar? Who's that guy from? You'll probably recognize him.
That's Thor.
Oh, that's Thor?
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. It's Thor.
Oh, sweet.
I am Thor.
So he's an old school metal dude, apparently. Oh shit! You got the DVD right onto the Blu-ray, right on top.
We're trying to sign off here, but dude, this fucking I am Thor DVD.
Oh,
it's
wow!
A documentary of the guy back in the '80s called Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very well done.
John Michael well Thor done. Was a bodybuilding, steel bending, brick smashing rock star in the '70s and eighties whose theatrical band Thor hit the scene alongside Metallica and Kiss, but never achieved the gold record status of its contemporaries. That's wild. Yeah, that's him right there.
It's a great, great
documentary. This looks like a cool documentary.
Oh, yeah,
it says 100% true, 100% real, 1,000% metal.
Very well done.
That's awesome, dude. Well, that's cool. Well, then that, that's. I think that's great. And, yo.
We just set up a private screening.
Private screening?
Yeah, just you and I.
No, I'm cool, dude. I don't ever want to be anywhere alone with you in a stadium, in a parking lot, anywhere.
No, it's very well done.
It sounds cool. I can't wait to see it. And it's cool that he that old Megaroro is
you know what?
Hip to that.
Thank God Dickhead's not here tonight. But, they were talking about it. I'm trying to think. I think it was M. Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold.
Oh, okay.
Saw this. It fell in love with Thor.
Oh, wow.
I'm not a big Avenged Sevenfold fan. They're okay, but I think all their shit sells safe. So.
That's fine. Yeah.
But no.
So this guy's like a legend from like the
80s. Yeah, well, I went back. I remember him from the 80s. I'm like, that dude's fucking cheese. And to be honest, I can't get into his music.
Uh-huh.
But the documentary's awesome.
Oh, sweet. Because
he's trying to make a comeback. You can get his story
behind. You get into the sort of psyche of a person who this person is
he
and what he was trying
over.
To do.
He could have been big.
Sounds fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah, awesome.
Cool. Very we'll have awesome. To check that out. Maybe one of our next shows.
Sure.
Maybe, tell you what, for Megaroro's sake, for being a cool guy, being with us since the beginning, let's go ahead and we'll do an episode. We'll talk about glam and we'll watch that video.
Yeah.
All for Megaroro. It'll be a Megaroro show.
Dude, we can't thank you enough, dude.
Yeah.
You've been with us 11 years?
That
12
is
years? Whatever
cool.
We've been doing this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of episodes to listen to.
Phenomenal.
We don't put them out that often, but it's cool that you listen to all of them and you're still a fan. That's the thing. You get to the end of this and still like us,
you.
Then holy shit, it's like you've achieved something.
You get the golden Genghis and Ragman Award.
Yeah, so kudos to you. We'll make a show for you,
thanks,
buddy.
Bro.
And thanks for listening. And to anyone else who still listens, I guess we want to give...
We want to give props to you. We appreciate everybody that keeps on checking us out. I mean, we do this for fun. There's no benefit to us, really.
We certainly don't make any fucking money at it.
We don't make any money. We get a few perks here and there. We get a little bit of music. We get a show here and there. But
yeah, that's nice.
And we get to meet people like Eric Martin. That's
people that
phenomenal.
We like. Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
We hope you enjoy what we do because we do it for you. We do it for ourselves as well. It's a lifelong.
But it's gratifying to know that anyone else gives a shit.
Right, right. When you guys say, you know what, I loved what you did. I mean, fuck, dude. We go up to the stars. So we really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, because we do get a common thing that people tell us is, it feels like I'm sitting with a couple of friends talking about metal.
And that's all we're doing.
And that's exactly what we're doing. That's we just started recording it. And so it's cool that anyone else feels that way. I'm glad that carries over.
We've been doing it for 11, 12 years. So, you know, we're going to keep on doing it as long as we decide to do it. I mean, that's the funny
thing. As long as our significant others allow it.
We honestly don't know. We said we know 4 people have really contacted us. We don't know if we have thousands, millions.
That's a good point.
Or 4 people. But you know what? We have so much fun. We just fucking dig it, man. And if you guys dig what we're doing, we really appreciate you checking us out, man.
Yep. And the same to you, Meg Aurora. We appreciate you. We appreciate
Brian.
We appreciate Eric. All the guys that still call us or leave messages on my Facebook and say, love the show, dude.
And if there's a topic you want us to discuss, like Meg Aurora,
let us know.
We'll throw it out there, dude. We'll throw it around and say what we think. And we're pretty honest here. I'm honest to a fault.
Fault is the operative word,
fucking
Eddie.
Asshole. I'm sorry. Normal listener. All our listeners know what I'm talking about. But anyway, we won't go there. It's too late in the show. But we want to thank you again. When we give you 2 big holds.
Hey, this is Jerry Dixon of Warrant, and you are listening to the Gangus and Ragman Show. Horns up!
All right, guys, you're on live with Ragman, Mono e Mono, with a band he's followed for many years, and a bass player that's been in the band for a lot of years, Mr. Jerry Dixon from Warrant. Give it up. Jerry, how you doing, man?
Good, man. I got my horns up over here, dude.
Awesome. Awesome, man. I got to tell you, it's an honor to talk to you. I'm an old school guy. When you guys came out back in the 80s, I was front and center. Been a fan for many years, every incarnation of the band, and so happy we're in 2017. You guys got a brand new record out. That is freaking awesome, man.
Yeah, we're just trying to keep the dream alive, baby.
Yes, sir. And I got to tell you, man, I was at that Rock the Bayou show that, because we're in Houston, that was Janie's last show with you guys.
That was the last one, man. That was you kind of saw the beating up there.
Yeah,
didn't you?
it was very unfortunate because I was so excited to see the original lineup back together, and unfortunately, you know, Janie just couldn't pull it together, and you know, a few days later, here you go, you guys are announcing Robert is your singer, and I mean, I don't think you could have picked a better guy to be your singer after Janie. Janie was an amazing vocalist, amazing writer, musician, but Robert's no slouch himself. He's an awesome vocalist.
Thank you.
How did you guys get to know Robert? I knew him from Lynch Mob and his famous band, and you can tell him I said this, Big Cock. With they did with Dave Hinserling. I actually talked to Robert back when he and Dave were doing the Big Cock stuff. So we had a lot of fun with the name with Dave and Robert.
I heard it was like Big Cock, Small Penis. I don't know.
Tell him you talked to a guy today that remembers Big Cock. Oh, okay. Maybe not. That probably doesn't sound well. Let's not even go there.
He remembers your big cock. That was a fun name, though.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Robert and Warrant and even, you know, Robert and Janie go back a long time from the from when Robert was in Lynchma, we did a tour with them, and pretty much, you know, we'd go out drinking every night and go to clubs after our shows, and so we would, you know, Robert and Janie hung out quite a bit, and I think right before that Houston show that you saw, we did Rocklahoma, and that was kind of the, you know, at that point we knew that Lane did not need to be on the road and be touring. He needed to go home and take care of himself and not be, you know, flying and doing all the stuff we do. And we, Joey and I, had, you know, separate times bumped into Robert that day. And it was funny because I got Robert's number and Joey got Robert's number. We're like, dude, you got to fly to L.A. And, we, you know, he knew what was going on. It was no secret, you know. And, you know, I think the following week after Houston, we flew Robert out to L.A. and we jammed for about an hour. And it just felt good. You know, what was cool about getting Robert was he was always a Warrant fan, you know, and he was also a friend to Janie. And he, you know, he was very serious about, you know, doing those songs justice and not trying to change them, not trying to make them different. So it really worked out good for, you know, for Warrant to be able to keep going with someone so professional as Robert. And also the older fans that come see us, you know, if they hear those songs, they're going to sound like they did back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they sound, you guys sound amazing with Robert. And, you know, it was apparent when you guys did Rockaholic and had new music with them that you guys hadn't skipped a beat, and it was really going to work. That was a really good record, and you got this brand new one, Louder, Harder, Faster. It's been 6 years since Rockaholic. What took you so long?
Wow, we're just slow learners. It takes a long time. You know, we don't live in the same states anymore, so I think that was the main factor. You know, Robert's in Arizona, I'm in Las Vegas, Eric's in down in Temecula and wine country. So it was just it's super hard. We tour so much. It's, you know, at the end of each year, we'd say, all right, you guys want to write a record and get together, and everyone would just be thrashed, be like, no, I don't want to leave my house for a month. Do you? Nope. Yeah, so it's just a matter of, you know, finally getting making it a priority and buckling down and you know, making time to actually get it done, you know, block out. Yeah, you know, we had to cancel a bunch of shows and not, you know, we had to clear like 3 months of our schedule to be able to do the record. So, you know, just stuff like that holds it up.
Well, how does the writing process work with everybody kind of split up? Do you guys kind of write solo and then maybe send files, or do you write and then kind of get together all in the studio and work things out and start recording?
Yeah, usually we, you know, like I demo stuff at my house and then Eric demos stuff at his house, and then Robert does some stuff at his house, and then we'll send the ideas to everybody, and then if everybody likes the idea, you know, and we get maybe three or four good ideas, then what we would do is Robert would come over to my house, to my studio, and, you know, a lot of times him and I would just, you know, he would add the vocals to it, or, you know, if we had to make major changes, him and I would just re-record the whole thing and demo it from the beginning. So we would chip away at that, you know, two or three, four songs at a time.
Oh, nice. Nice. So when you guys, when the album's recorded, do you guys all get together in a studio and record it, or are you kind of doing it from different studios? And I understand Jeff Pilson mixed it or produced it, so do you send the files to him, or do you guys actually record in the studio? How's that work?
Yeah, we did that old school. It doesn't, you know, we've tried the email thing, and it just doesn't work for this band, unfortunately, because we probably get a lot done and make records sooner, but we just, you know, what works for us is just going old school and getting in a room and rehearsing together and then going in the studio together. So, again, that's something that, you know, that takes time for us to be okay. We need 5 or 6 weeks for everybody to go in and go to LA and get settled in, rehearse, and record. So we do it the old way.
Well, I gotta tell you, as a fan, it really comes off in the music, and you can kind of tell. I can kind of tell when guys, it doesn't seem as cohesive to me as all guys in a room when I'm listening to music. So it's so refreshing, and I hear a lot of guys are going back to this and kind of getting away from the email files and stuff like that and just getting in the room and recording. I think the music comes out a lot more organic.
Yeah, you know what? What I've kind of learned is that, you know, everybody's going to, in the band, they have to contribute, you know? Like, Eric is Eric, and Joey plays like Joey, and Steve plays, you know, Steven doesn't play like my drum machine, you know? And, you know, Joey doesn't play the rhythm part like I played it on the demo. So there's a lot of, it's all the little things that you just have to be in a room to sort out. And, you know, be able to go, you know, some parts that maybe I thought Joey would play, Eric played, you know, and some beats I never thought of, Steven came up with. So, you know, it's just that you can't replace that. You know, you can't do that online. You got to look at each other and you know, sit across and, you know, same room and work all that stuff out before, you know, that's where the magic happens, you know? You
get everybody.
Awesome. Well, you get everybody involved. It's not like one or two guys baby and then the other guys in the band didn't do anything, you know?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to work for us.
That's awesome, man. Well, how would you, stylistically, how would you say Rockaholic differs from Louder, Harder, Faster?
Well, Rockaholic was our first record with Robert, and I think we were just kind of finding our way with that record. You know, Lane had, you know, all that shit happened with him, and it was just a weird, you know, kind of a time. And, you know, I think we were getting to know each other still, where on this record, you know, I knew what Robert was going to sing. I knew, you know, how he would write a part. He knew how I would write something. And, you know, so we left a lot of space for each other, which was different than Rockaholic. Like, Rockaholic, you know, he wrote a lot of songs by himself, and I wrote a lot by myself. But this one, it's pretty much all co-written.
Oh, awesome.
You know, I didn't really mess with the vocal parts. I'm like, oh, Robert, he'll come up with something better than I can. So, so I think it was just, you know, knowing each other a little bit better. And we really tried to not overthink this record. When we went to record it, we didn't want, I think Rockaholic was a little bit stale, like almost too perfect. You know, everything was just buttoned up so tight, you know, it didn't really breathe like this one's. This record's not perfect by any means, but we wanted it like that. We were like, if somebody had a really good take and there was a little, you know, tiny note bend or something, we're like, you know what, just leave it. Let's move on. It sounds, you know, the vibe is there.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, let's jump into it real quick. One of the first songs that really stood out to me was Perfect. Do you have a cool story on how that song came together?
Like a perfect shining star.
that sounds cool, man.
Perfect's perfect.
One, yeah. That actually do have a funny story. I started writing that one, and I wanted like that 80s bass, just dun, 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 you know, those quarter notes. And so I wrote that backwards. Like I recorded the bass just playing one note all the way through with that vibe. And then I went back and then I added the guitars. And then I went back and added the chorus music. And then Robert came over and he wrote the lyrics and sang it in like one take. And I was like, holy shit, dude.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. So it's definitely, it was definitely an oddball one. You know, how that came about.
Perfect. Well, I want to bring up a couple more tracks real quick. How about Only a Broken Heart? I like that one a lot too. Kind of more up tempo and just a really good kind of sing along rocking song, man.
And I worked on that track, but there's a twist to it. Eric did the music, I wrote the lyrics and some of the middle eight sections musically, and the song was called 80s Ladies. And Robert absolutely hated that title. He's like, I fucking can't. I hate it. I will not. He's like, I will not sing it. I will, you know, I hate it. He goes, I don't know why. It just doesn't sit well with me. So the day before we actually went in the studio, we're like, all right, what are we going to do about, at that time it was called 80s Ladies. And Robert had maybe half the vocals kind of sketched out. And so we played the track and he kind of hummed along and we were like, I don't really know what the fuck he's saying. But we said, let's just do this, you know, let's just go in. We trust you, dude. We're just going to kind of map it out and we'll record the track. And you just, you know, finish writing the lyrics and we'll see what happens. And thank the Lord, yeah. That was kind of the bastard song of the bunch, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
It came out, I know, but it came out cool, man. Again, that's like one of those things where just knowing, you know, how Robert writes now, mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I totally trust him. Like, if he says it's good, I know it's good, yeah.
Well, yeah, and I'm always, as a fan, I'm always curious, okay, what song almost didn't make it? And what song did you work on so hard, you're like, ah, oh, this is a piece of shit, and then all of a sudden it turns out to be maybe one of your favorite ones on the record, or at least one that goes over really well live, you know?
I think the song we had the biggest problem with was Let It Go, which is the last, like, Joey hates that song. He kept calling it a pussy song. Fast forward song. And I would say that was it just, you know, it had a good idea, but I don't know if we really captured the right feel that I wanted for it. We changed the guitar parts a million times. So I would say that one. One of the most oddball songs, which Frontiers did not want to put on the album, so it ended up being, it's called Stop the World, and it's only on the, it's on the Japanese release as a bonus track. But if you could dig that up, that was a cool song. It was like a punk, almost like a punk rock song.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but they just felt, they're like, it's just not Warrant, doesn't fit in with the rest, and we said, you know what, you guys don't ask for much, so do what you guys want to do, you know.
Well, that was my last question on the record. You know, how much influence did Frontiers have? I hear that they, for the most part, they're hands off, and I know with some projects where they put stuff together, they're like, okay, this is what we want. We want this 80s vibe. So with, you know, being an 80s band, I always wonder, you know, how much pressure do you get that they say, okay, we want Cherry Pie and, you know, or, you know, DFSR or, you know, something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they actually put that in their contracts, that they, you know, if they sign a band, you know, it's like, or at least in ours, they're like, we want this type of music. We don't want you guys to deliver a grunge record or deliver a Taylor Swift record or whatever's hip right now, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of, and you don't mess with Frontiers, you know that. You got to, so if they say something, you're like, okay. You got it, dudes. You know, that was kind of their outline. And then I think once we delivered Rockaholic, you know, that was the end of that kind of subject. They knew that we got it and that we weren't going to turn in, you know, they don't want you to turn in something completely wacky that doesn't fit what you guys do, you know?
Sure. Well, real quick, touring. What are your plans for touring? Can we plan on seeing you guys in Houston this summer?
Yeah, we're all over the map, man. Just go to warrantrocks.com. We add, you know, or go to our Warrant Facebook page. We're adding shows, you know, daily, on a daily basis. We've already been kind of out since February of this year, so we're doing great, man. We're all over the map, so keep checking back, look on there, and hopefully we'll definitely get something in Houston.
Awesome, man. Are y'all looking to get on some sort of package, or you think you'd be doing it on your own?
Probably, yeah. This year we're playing a lot with Dokken. We've done a few good successful shows with them. But we're open. You know, the bigger package tours are usually incestual, you know, if you're not with that agency. You know, like the Poison tours and Def Leppard and all that. We're not in that clique, you know. But you know, you never know what can happen. We're definitely open to whoever wants us.
Awesome. Well, Jerry, before we let you go today, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
I hope that they enjoy the record, and I hope that you know, one of the things we really tried to do in this is go back to the old days of sitting in the living room listening to a record from the beginning to the end, and you know, maybe Maybe we could stress to people not to buy one song. Try to get the whole record and listen, you know, listen to it go up and down like a roller coaster and enjoy it from the beginning to the end the way it was meant to be.
Awesome. Well, I think your fans will definitely do that. These old school guys like myself, they like the whole product, not just a song or two.
Yeah,
so but anyway, Jerry, we want to thank you for coming on the RightToRock.com with Genghis and Ragman, and we want to tell all the fans to get Warrant's brand new record, Louder, Harder, Faster, out on Frontiers. Jerry, awesome talking to you, man. I hope we can chat when you have more time, man. I could probably talk to you for a couple of hours, dude.
I know. We will, man. We will. I appreciate it, though, and we really appreciate your support.
Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X, so check them out, and keep checking us out, and Horns Up.